turn this over to our guest speaker all the way from Port Jefferson Station, Long Island, Lois Nash. Lois and Paul are my cohorts as we head to France twice a year, and we were just counting it up yesterday. They've been 7 times now. And contrary to what the guys are saying, Lois, you might be able to correct them, they're all calling me a dictator. And Lois reminded me last night that if I'm a dictator, I'm the most benevolent dictator, which is not surprising, of all, and they keep coming. I'm not giving the mic to Paul this morning, but because he might say something different. But anyway, they keep coming, and so either they really enjoy the punishment or it's really not as bad as some people make it out to be. So anyway, we're grateful that you're not allowed to sleep, but apart from that, it's not a problem. So anyway, Lois, please come and share what God's put on your heart this morning. We're grateful that you're here, and we like you guys a lot.
Right back at you. Hi. How long do I have? 2-3 hours? It's African style preaching, you know. I understand they go on for like days. Okay. I can keep time. Okay.
We leave at 11:30. Wow. It's already like 10 after.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Nice to be here. I was supposed to be here 2.5 years ago, and the night before we were supposed to come, I ended up with some kind of stomach virus. So we decided I really wasn't up to the trip that time. And ever since then, I've been hearing it from Don, getting the elbow, you know. So finally, we are here. It was pretty funny, too, because the day I was supposed to be here to speak, 2 ladies from our church came to this area on vacation, didn't know I was supposed to be here, and they came to church here that Sunday. Can you imagine if they'd walked in and they saw me in the pulpit? I think that would have been hysterical. Okay. I want to tell you just a little bit about me, because I think that always helps if you understand a little bit about the person who's talking to you before they start telling you stuff about God, maybe. I was raised a Jehovah's Witness. That might be interesting to some of you, from a family of Jehovah's Witnesses. I was the first to kind of break out of that. Got saved in college back in 1973. Don't do the math, please. Okay, and the way that I actually came to the Lord, I'd met some Christians, which was a new experience, and I knew that I needed God. That much the witnesses told me, God's supposed to be the center of your life. So I understood that much. And I was praying one day. I was really quite depressed, and I hated my life. And I said, well, God, I don't know whether these Christians are right or these witnesses are right. I don't know what to do. And God did what God does, which is he called my bluff. And he said, you need to give yourself to me, and I'll show you the way to go. Sounds like God, right? Yeah. So I counted the cost for a few hours. I happened to be traveling back to New York after summer school, and after a few hours of thinking, you know what? I don't like my life the way it is. I'm tired of it like this. So what have I got to lose? So I gave my life to the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I think actually kind of holds true. It's kind of a cool thing, that the way that a person comes to the Lord is a pretty good indication of kind of the way their walk is going to be. So for me, the promise was, you give yourself to me, and I will show you the way to go. And really, my life in the Lord since then has been characterized by this sense of God giving me direction. That's the easiest prayer for me to pray. Harder for me to pray and ask him for things. But, oh, Lord, what do you want me to do? That comes so spontaneously for me. And it's kind of how I walk out this life with him. I started out in evangelical churches, Navigators, and some of you might be familiar with them, and you know, good Bible-based churches, and God really blessed me with that. And gradually I moved into more charismatic things. My husband and I have been involved in the Vineyard since 1986. That's a long time. Again, please don't do the math. Okay, and then really a lot through the Vineyard, and also because of this whole thing about, you know, I'll show you the way to go, I really tend to be kind of, I move kind of like along revelatory kind of ways, you know. That's just the way that I approach this life in Christ, both by bent, my natural bent, and by the practice. The Lord eventually called us. We were part of a church on Long Island. Lance Pitluck was our pastor. Some of you may know his name. He's now the pastor of John Wimber's church in Anaheim. And then around 2000, we were called to be church planners and have been pastoring the church in Port Jeff Station, Long Island, New York, since then. This thing about the Lord kind of saying, okay, this is the way I want you to go, is also how we got into missions with France and how Don and I ended up getting connected, because the Lord started showing me flashes of the Eiffel Tower. And it wasn't even just, you know, the picture that you see. It was like standing under the legs looking up at it, or all these weird kind of angles that I'd never seen a picture of. So after a couple of years of that, it's like, Lord, what are you trying to say? Are you want us to, like, do something in France or something? And then via the Vineyard Grapevine, we heard that there was this other crazy person who had a heart for France. And so one thing led to another. And, you know, a bunch of trips later, we do missions in France, the Peninsula Vineyard and Open Door Vineyard. Okay. So one of the reasons I wanted to tell you a bit about me is so you understand kind of how I hear from the Lord. I wanted to tell you how it was that I got the topic of this sermon. The Lord communicates with us in so many different ways, doesn't he? It's kind of cool the way that we're each individuals, and so he has very individual ways of speaking to us. Excuse me. I really would love a glass of water if I could get one. Sorry, I didn't think to ask for that before. For instance, some of you may know the name Tri Robinson. He is the pastor of the Boise Vineyard Church, which is actually one of the biggest in the Vineyard. They've got several thousand people. And I heard him doing a teaching on church management, whatever it was, but the story he told about himself was how the Lord directed him to plant that church. And the way that the Lord spoke to him was through a message in a balloon. Now, that's pretty weird, right? And that was actually one in a whole line of messages that he had received in balloons. It's just something God did with him. And every, you know, once in a while, I guess the deal is, you know, kids would roll up a piece of paper with a little message in it and stick it in a balloon and send it off with helium. And he kept finding them. And they were words to him from the Lord. One of the crazy things that my husband and I get... This will probably be the breaking point for some of you. They'll be like, oh, this woman is nuts. We get fortune cookies. We do. I mean, okay, let me subtitle this. It's not that God, you know, not every fortune cookie is from God. Okay, it's just that the Lord has been speaking about something, and then he'll send a little fortune cookie along the way that's just going to verify all that. And it's like, yeah, that's really me. It's just this little joke that he plays with us. I go through my ups and downs emotionally, and I was in a period of time when I was kind of discouraged and depressed, and the Lord kept speaking to me through Scripture, just, you know, his voice I had to hear. The joy of the Lord is your strength, you know, and because I was in a complaining mood. And one night we were invited over to somebody's house for a party, and I refused to go because I just wanted to sit home and complain and be in this pity party. So my husband left. He went to the party. And I sat at home, and I was like, man, I'm going to order Chinese food. Well, I should know by now that when I get this hankering for Chinese food, the Lord wants to say something to me. And I kid you not, I got a fortune cookie which said, and I quote, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." When was the last time you got a fortune cookie with a Bible verse? In King James, let alone, you know. Okay. Well, another way the Lord speaks to me is through songs. I'll just realize that a song has been playing in my head, maybe for a while, actually, and all of a sudden I'll tune in on it and go, oh, I think maybe the Lord's trying to talk to me. And the song that I got when I was just beginning to think about what I might say to you folks this morning is a Toby Mac song. Anybody know Toby Mac? Okay. Great guy. I love him. And the song is, "When love is in the house, then the house is packed." I don't know what you call it. It's not exactly rap. Is it like, what's that other thing? Can't think of it. Hip-hop. Thank you. This is probably hip-hop. I'm going to chant. I'm not going to sing it to you right now, but it goes like this. When love is in the house, then... Oh, we have a slide. You could show that now. Okay. When love is in the house, then the house is packed. So much soul, I left the back door cracked. Papa always said it was a matter of fact that when love is in the house, then the house is packed. It's good, right? When love is in the house, then the house is packed. So much soul, I left the back door cracked. Papa always said it was a matter of fact that when love is in the house, then the house is packed. There's a lot more to this song, and it's kind of wordy, so I'm not going to do the whole song with you, but you get the point, and I think you have a sense of where we're going. Don had shared with me what you folks are doing right now. You're kind of in this sort of a, I don't know if you call it a relaunch. I don't know exactly how you're thinking of it, but you're just sprucing up the building and sort of gearing up for welcoming new people in and sort of like a fresh start and new enthusiasm, new joy, lots of prayer about the Lord bringing new folks in and just loving on them. And I really felt like that was the theme that the Lord had for you all this morning, that love is the foundation of his house. Obviously, you know, scriptures say that God is love. The Father sent his Son because he, you know it, so loved the world. Jesus said, greater has no love than he who will lay down his life for his friends. That's us, right? Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, first thing. That's the foundation of his house, and nothing attracts people. Well, nothing attracts people like the Holy Spirit, and nothing attracts the Holy Spirit like love. Where he's allowed to pour his love through us, he likes that kind of place, and he likes hanging out in that kind of place. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 13. Where do you hear this passage most often? Weddings, right? The truth is that it was not written about weddings. It was not specifically written about marriages, let's say. It was written about the church. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Great big noisemaker, not much else. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nada, nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. So, you know, you can push yourself to go the extra mile and do a lot of stuff, but if it's not coming from that place, you don't, it's really... It doesn't do any good. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. For we all know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I'll know fully, even as I'm fully known. But for right now, and for all time, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, the one phrase, there's a lot here, and you could preach a bunch of sermons on this little passage, but there's one phrase that really jumped out at me. Now, I know it's a challenge to me, but I know from being a human being for however many years I've been around, it's a challenge for most of us. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. How well do you do with that? I'm working at it. That's a good way to put it. I'm working at it. I need a lot of reminders about it. Because I like to keep my lists. When people hurt me, when they disappoint me badly. And that is part of the human experience, isn't it? And it seems sometimes like it's worse in the church than outside of the church. I don't know if that's because we expect better of each other, whether it's because our walls are kind of down, you know, so we're not really defending ourselves all that, or protecting ourselves all that much. I don't know what it is. And the ways that the enemy stirs us up to do unloving things to one another. But this thing about forgiving, it's just huge. Why do you think Jesus and the early church leaders kept saying this stuff about love one another? What's that? Well, either they weren't, or they realized, being human beings, how hard it is to do that and to keep doing it. It's all right to start. But ways down the road, after you find out that people have clay feet, or they're not nice to you, or they don't give you what you think you want or you need, it's hard. It's very hard, especially that no record of wrongs thing. So I was, when putting this thing together, I'm thinking, well, you know, they use this for weddings, but that's not really what it's about. But I think that love, the way that he calls us to love, sometimes it's in that place of marriage, for those who are, of us who are married, or in those closest relationships, that it's the hardest to do. Because that can be where the hurt can be the biggest. So I ended up feeling like, well, that's pretty appropriate after all. The Apostle John, my old pastor used to say this, that toward the end of his life, the tradition is that John would just sort of show up at a gathering of believers, and he didn't preach a sermon. He just kind of would tell them, love one another. It was so big to him. It was so huge. That was like his life's message. Love one another. Well, that John said, how can we love God? How can one love God who he hasn't seen if he can't love his brother who he has seen? And to follow on that, I want to propose to you, how can we love our brother or sister in the Lord who are another step distant from us when we're having trouble loving the ones in our own family, those who we're closest to, our spouses, our children, our parents? How can we say we love God if we can't love our brother? How can we say we love our brother if we can't love those who are closest to us or choose not to? So what does all this have to do with church? Well, when love is in the house, sounds like a promise to me that the house is packed. What's it going to be packed with? Well, I don't know if it's always at every moment going to be packed with people, but it sure is attractive. But it'll be packed with the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who's love. And we give him room and obey in those things like keeping no record of wrongs. He promises to come and fill our house, our homes, and our churches. A church is a place of love to the degree that each of the individual people in that church choose to be people of love. Like that old song, I suppose it was from the 80s, you know, we are the world, we are the child, well, we are the church, we're it. And if we want our house, this house, my house in Port Jefferson, and by the way, I could be saying to us up there, it's the same thing. Then we choose to be people of love. Which is, you know, believing all things, hoping all things, not keeping the records of wrongs, not being proud or boastful or envying. It's all those things. Choosing those things. Do we have the power to do that, you and I? Not on our own strength. We're feeble, weak human beings, but we have the dynamo of the universe. As you prayed in the prayer meeting this morning, unlimited power, infinite cosmic power. Yes, us. It's a line from Aladdin, if you don't know. That's the Lord. Infinite cosmic power, tiny little living space. Weird, isn't it? A little weird. God would choose us to work out his plans and his love in this world. Well, as things would have it, our church up on Long Island is also in a rebuild phase. We've gotten rather small, and it's time for us to burst out of our imagined walls, get on out there, be pulling some more people in. There's a lot of theory out there about what makes churches grow. You know, when you go to seminars or, you know, training events and whatever, they tell you about, you know, giving gas gift cards to the people who visit and, you know, having nice bathrooms and good signage and nice welcome packets, you know. It's good to have activity, the Holy Spirit, healings, things like that. And don't get me wrong, those things are all good. They're helpful. They make people feel welcome. They impress them of the reality of the truth about God. But if love is in the house, then the house is packed. Okay, we're going to have a little fun now. Please take out your cell phone or anything that you have with a lighted screen. While you're doing that, I have one more point I want to make to you. That verse in 1 John that I read to you, how can you say that you love God who you haven't seen if you can't love your brother who you have seen? Turn it around a second. Somebody walking in off the street coming in here, how's he going to know or she know that he's loved by God whom he hasn't seen unless he's loved by his people who he has seen? It works that way, doesn't it? Unless the lady who comes in here for the first time can see love between family members, let's say, or kinship members, or the people in the church, if they can see that in action, maybe they can believe that God, who's behind all of us, could love them. Okay. All right, we're going to play rock star, or, you know, like rock concert, okay? I have to use my PDA because my phone broke, and I've got a loaner phone that has no screen. Okay, we're going to do this song, but there's a version of it that the refrain is na-nas. So, you know, you can join in on the na-nas when you kind of get the hang of it. And then we do that last line, that when love is in the house, then the house is packed. Okay, you ready? Na 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 na. You ready? love is in the house and the house is packed. Na 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 na. When love is in the house and the house is packed. Na 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 na. When love is in the house and the house is packed. Na 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 na. And love is in the house and the house is packed. Na 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 na. Love is in the house and the house is packed. When love is in the house and the house is packed. Love is in the house and the house is packed. Na 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 na. Okay, big finish. When love is in the house, then the house is packed. Okay, I think you got the theme of the sermon for today. Good. All right. Now we move on to the ministry portion of our program. Some of you know that this needs to change for you in some place of your life. Now, I should tell you, my old pastor Lance used to say things like this, and I'd be like, oh, and really, it didn't pertain to me at that time. So I'm not asking to take on something that isn't yours. But for some of you, the Lord is poking, and you know that he's saying, oh, this right here. I want this. I want you to give me this. Maybe even, I'm tired of you schlepping that thing around, and it stinks, and I want it gone. Will you give it to me? And for some of you, it's just more like, I want more of this, God. I want to love people more. I want to be quicker to forgive. I want to be, and that could probably be all of us. I know it would certainly be me. So, if that's you, and you would like some prayer, would you come up here? Paulie, why don't you come up here too? And we're going to pray for you. I mean, we're not going to do anything bad to you or anything. Like none of you? Okay, thank you. Make me feel better. Be nice to the visiting pastor, you know. There have been different words in the prayer meeting before, and also it goes along with what Sue had shared earlier about barriers and things. The truth is, in Christ, we have been set free. But sometimes stuff sort of crawls its way, likes to come back and like try to whatever. So the point of this is, get it off again, okay? That's the point of this. I don't know if any of you would like to come up, but I don't know how you would normally do this part, like, just whoever wants to come up, okay? Whoever would like to come up and help us pray, please do. Also, is Charles here? Worship? That's your worship guy, right? He's in Sunday school. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. The rest of you folks, I don't know if there's any visitors here today. Please feel free to do whatever, you know, if you want to just hang out and watch, or you just want to pray yourself and be in the Lord's presence, whatever you'd like to do, please feel free. Lord, I ask that you'd come now and you would do what you and you alone can do, which is you free people, Lord. You're powerful, you are awesome, you're full of love, Lord. You never give us a hard time about this stuff. Once we come to you, Lord, it's like done. Willingly forgiven from you, Lord. And I just thank you. I just thank you that that's the kind of God we have. And that you're powerful enough to free us from any of the things that we carry around. So I ask that your power would come now. And your joy too, Lord. This freedom, the joy that comes from freedom in you. Because that's what forgiveness is about. Giving freedom to the other and to ourselves. That's what loving is about, Lord. Believing that people can be better than maybe they appear. That they're worth more than the sum total of their ability to be good. So come and do that now. Just you, for each of you, just you do business with the Lord. If you want to share what's going on with the person who's praying for you, that's fine. You just let the Lord come and take that, whatever it is. Prison locked away enough. There's no cave anybody could hide in where the Lord can't find them. Thank you for that, Lord.
One of the reasons why people don't feel love is that they don't know who they are. And I gave our church a homework assignment, which was read all the Bible and find all the places where God gives us a name of who we are. One of the biggest ones is you are loved. And the end of the book of Revelation, he gives us a rock with our name on it that no one except me and the Lord knows. I'm into symbols. Suggestion, when you go outside, pick up a rock and carry it with you. Not a worry rock, you know, not one of those ones, but a rock that says, this has my name on it. This is who I am. Because if I knew who I am, then if someone else doesn't like me, so what? I have God's name on me. I don't care if he doesn't like me. I can love him because I am God's child, but I don't care what he or she or they say because I have God's name. And you all have God's name, a special name just for you that's unique to you, that was set up before you were born, that says John. You know, you get those little things in there that says John, defender of God or whatever. It's got your name on it and it's got his definition of who you are on it. And he made that a long time ago. And that's who you are, whether you feel it or not, whether you act the way or not, whether anybody else in the world knows it or not, that's your name. And if you have his name in your hand of who you are, nothing else matters. So first, Lord, give them a glimpse of what that name is. Just speak to them right now, a glimpse of that name that you've given them, the peace they need for today. So they can stand in the strength of the name they have.
Now for you who have come to bring things to the Lord and ask for his help, for freedom, I speak over you now freedom. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I speak freedom over you. Forgive, to love. To love those closest to you. To love your brothers and sisters in Christ. And to love even the stranger who you might meet. The stranger who might walk in these doors. Lord, I ask that you would do such a wonderful work here, that you would increase exponentially, Lord, the love for the outsider coming in here. Love, Lord, for the broken, for people who have really messed up their lives, Lord, because they have been disobedient to you, who have sinned, Lord, in all kinds of ways, who've broken relationships, who have damaged their own bodies in some cases, Lord, who have been full of bitterness and rage and depression, or who just feel lost, Lord, numb. I pray, Lord, that they would walk in here and feel the love of God through these kind folks sucking them in, that they would not understand what's happening to them, except that it draws them in irresistibly.
We were just in Hillbilly Country last week. We were in the Smokies and saw my pictures of the Great Smokies. It's a picture of a stream that's running water, you know, fresh water, always clean, fresh water, the same temperature every day of its life. And there's a woman sitting there. It happens to be a woman because she's doing clothes. But, you know, the way you used to clean clothes would you smash them against a rock and wash run a little bit and let the water wash the dirt away. Well, we don't do that. We have washing machines now. And the washing machines sometimes leave the same dirty water in it. It sort of stays in their clothes. You get dingy into a bleach in it and start over again. Well, this water is always clean. So every time you smash that shirt in the water, new clean water flushes the dirt away. And you can't go out in the stream and go, oh, that's my dirt. That's my dirt. You can't. It's already gone. It's miles away by the time you get to that point. Other than the fact you look stupid, it's gone because you can't capture the piece of water anymore. So the water that's cleaning your clothes is always clean and is always flushing the dirt away. It never stays. You can't keep it. You can't hold on to it. If you're willing to step in the water and clean the water, the river of life, you want to become philosophical and all kind of stuff. But the picture was of just cleaning clothes in this always clean, fresh water. And that's what God is doing for each one of you, if you're willing to step in the water and let him clean the clothes with you.
I pray, Lord, that you would encourage each one now. Encourage each one. Lord, you know better than any of us. We won't be perfect at this. We're working on it, Lord. We're working on it. And you're working on us. Just give your joy now, Lord. Joy and freedom. Freedom, Lord. Freedom. the Lord has given me a word for you folks. Believe it or not, it's coming from these lights. Don was saying that only about 40% of them are working, something like that. And I feel like you are going to be growing. You know, your church is going to be growing. And there's going to be a lot more lit light bulbs in here. Cool, right? Don had also asked me to share a picture I'd gotten, a dream actually, about 3 days before I left. It wasn't until I started checking some of the details of the dream that I realized even it was about your church. In the dream, I was going back to school. I was in the dream the age I am now, but I was going back to get another bachelor's degree. And I was on campus. I went to a dorm, and I was kind of getting welcomed there, and I was thinking, boy, it's really strange going back to do this after all these years. Hope I'll be able to do a good job, you know. And they were just building the building where the classrooms were. And I looked out the window and I could see it. And it was a building that was shaped in steps. Like each floor, you know, it was as if a giant could walk up the steps on each floor. And it was all glass. It was very open building, lots of light kind of dazzling off it and whatever. And the way that I knew it was about your church is that the school I was going to go to was William and Mary. And I had no idea where that was. I thought it was in Maryland. And when I went and looked it up, I found out that it's right here in Williamsburg. And that's when I began to realize that the dream was about you guys. And then, so the sense was that this building was going to be step by step, you know. But each step was very big because it was another floor. So I feel like, you know, the Lord will kind of chunk you up in that kind of a way. But as I kept thinking about it, as I was driving down here, I kept hearing textbook, the word textbook. And then things like, the textbook is crucial, the textbook is key. Show you how strange I am. It is actually the windshield wipers. I kept hearing textbook, textbook, you know. This is crazy stuff. But I felt like, what's our textbook, obviously? This is it. And though this building was all made of glass, and I felt like that had to do with the revelatory and all of that, the Lord kept saying that the textbook was key. The word, knowing the word being the foundation, that was key. And the Lord kept saying that part. That was key. And then when I shared it with Don and Sue, they were telling us that he's really been stressing that, knowing the word and letting that be our foundation. So I really feel like that was the Lord. I'm assuming that at somewhere around this point you guys would be released for getting a cup of coffee or whatever. So just going to say, feel free to do what you need to do today. We're going to keep praying for people up here. If you'd like to come up, and you were maybe a little chicken before, but you would like some prayer, just come on up. You're welcome. And God bless you guys. It's been a pleasure being here with you. Thank you. Don't forget about the chair moving thing that Tom was talking about before. Okay.